Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Paranormal Memoirs. I'm your host, Jay Hill. And tonight, actually I have a story to tell that I actually kind of forgot about, which is surprisingly because, you know, I usually remember a lot of things, but for some reason this kind of came to my mind tonight. And I was like, oh yeah, really, that was a really good story. So, how is everybody doing? If you're listening to this or watching this or whatever, hope everybody's good. Hope everybody's surviving Hurricane Milton. I've been praying for you, you guys, everybody in Florida. So, I can't say that I've ever been in a hurricane myself. Been in a few tornadoes, but hurricanes, no. So I hope and pray you guys are okay. And I hope this storm weakens and goes through really quick. So having said that, I wanted to go back to a little bit of my first episode. I did. I was talking about a book I was reading, The Haunted 20th Century of America. By William J. Barnes and Joel Martin. That's still a good book. I highly recommend it. It's got some great stories. Excuse me. So, had something in my eye. Yeah, so I'm sitting down in my little studio here, enjoying a Wednesday evening. And, yeah, I got a pretty good story to tell. So, without any delay, let's get to it. So, probably about 25 years. Yeah, it's been about 25 years. I was with a girl who I was living with. And it was like 2003, I think. She was a good friend of mine. We dated for a little bit after that. It didn't quite work out. You know, I kind of blame myself for how it all ended and how it happened. But I digress. Anyways. So she was a real good friend. And we had a lot of fun together. And you know, she knew I was into some of the paranormal stuff. And we weren't really, it's kind of like I wasn't always, you know, out there looking for the paranormal stuff. I was kind of still just living my life. I was younger and, you know, it just seems that paranormal always seemed to find me, you know. And so we decided that we would go take a trip to Colorado. Now, I used to live in Colorado, and I lived there for like 3-4 years. I loved it. You know, I mean, it's just one of my favorite places to be. So we just talked about it and decided that we would drive to Colorado. Where I was living, it was only about 8 hours away, so it wasn't that far. But I was looking forward to it. And so we're driving. And now this is a little bit of a side jaunt of what was going on on the trip. The trip was kind of was it was a good trip, don't get me wrong. But it was one of those things where you have to scratch your head and kind of like, you know, what just happened? So we're driving through Kansas and we haven't quite come into Colorado yet. So it's late at night and we see that there's a storm ahead of us, and we could see the lightning, and we could see when the lightning would light up the clouds, it was just, they were just kind of really, I don't know, evil looking, if you want to say. So anyways, we're driving and we're having a conversation, and she started it, and I was doing 55. It was on a two lane blacktop, and I'm just driving, and the storm that we were getting closer to the storm. Well, it kind of seemed like the storm was almost on top of us. And I was expecting to see rain and all this other stuff. And it started to, the lightning was really intense. I don't know how to describe it. If you've ever seen a lightning storm in the distance, and it kind of has its own characteristic, and it's just, it's like its own entity. And to be honest with you, it was kind of creepy because of the fact that it was late at night, and the way that the lightning came, and you know, the lightning was lighting up the clouds, and the clouds looked really weird, ominous, you know. And so I had a bad feeling. Now, this is before my gifts and everything were really, you know, where they are now. But I would always still be able to sense things. And this was one of the times where I was like, something's going on, and I wasn't quite sure what. And so you could take this story for whatever you want, but this is only my personal account of what happened. So I'm driving, and she's pretty much asleep. And I look down, and I'm driving 55, whatever, 55, 60. And it's completely dark, and the lightning was just getting crazy around us, but still no rain. It was really weird. So in 1 minute, I mean, I swear, in 1 minute, it was almost like I blinked. I blinked and I looked down and I'm doing 90. I'm like, what the, I'm freaking out going, what the hell? And so I look at the clock on the radio, because the radio was acting funny. I looked at the clock, and when we were driving, and I realized when we left, you know, or when we got on that road and this and that, and before she fell asleep, it was kind of like, I think it was closer to like 9:30 or something like that, that I can remember. But when I looked down at the clock on the radio, it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I mean, it was like, what happened to that hour, and why am I going 90 miles an hour when I was just looking down doing 55 or 60? And I had this really weird period, and we went through this storm, and then it started to rain, and then it was, I mean, thunder and lightning, and it was really, really bad. And it was almost like I could sense the energy around the vehicle. Just unreal. We get through the storm, and all of a sudden, our car's acting funny. And I was like, what the hell? And the alternator went out. Now, the car was completely fine before that. We had it checked out. Everything was good. She didn't have any issues with an alternator before. And so I think it had something to do with that storm that we went through, that I actually lost about an hour of time and not realized that I was doing 90 miles an hour when 2 seconds before I looked and I was doing 55, 60. Now, that car was not that fast that in 2 seconds can go, you know, from 60 to 90 in 30 miles an hour. I mean, it was just, so that was a moment where I had to scratch my head and be like, what the hell happened? But we come into this town and it's a small town in Kansas. And it was kind of weird. It was different. We ended up stopping. I had to stop because the car was going to die. I mean, it was getting, the lights were really getting low and, excuse me. And I knew what, when an alternator goes out, I've had enough cars to know that when an alternator is going out and what happens, and our headlights were getting really dim. So we had to stop at this, I don't know what it was, but it was like a hotel type gas station or whatever. But as soon as we stopped, you know, and she woke up and she, you know, was like, what's going on? And I said, I think your alternator is bad. And, you know, yada, yada, yada. And she's like, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with the car. I said, after going through that storm, I don't know what to, what to say. And she kind of slept through the whole thing. It was just me. So no longer did we park the car and have this conversation. A cop pulled up in front of us and was facing us with his lights on. And I'm like, oh, great. So I get out and the cop was like, you know, do you guys need help with something? You know, what's going on? And I told him that this is what happened and our alternator's going out, da da da. And I said, we're on our way to Colorado. And he was the nicest cop that I've met. And he was like, oh, well, let me make a few phone calls and get you guys set up so you're not stuck out here. And, you know, I know the owner of the hotel down the road and, you know, I'll wake her up. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and then I'll call so-and-so who runs the garage in the town and I'll set you up in the morning. I was like, okay. So he calls and the whole time he's not asking for my ID or my license or my registration or nothing like that. He was just, he like knew that, oh yeah, you're in trouble. I'll help you out. Called the owner of the hotel down the road and, you know, set us up and she woke up and, you know, she went to the desk and we walked in there and she was nice. And we said, you know, we really appreciate this. This is just, she's like, oh no, that these things happen. And, you know, we're more than, you know, welcome to help people. And I was like, wow. Okay. And so we get the hotel room and it was just a weird feeling. I don't know. It wasn't really a bad feeling, but it was kind of creepy. I mean, it was just, I don't know how to describe it. So the cop gives us the information of the shop down the road. He says, go there in the morning, drop your car off, and then they'll fix it and then get you guys on your way. I'm like, okay. So I was able to shut her car off enough so it's kind of like regenerated a little bit from the battery overnight. So I was able to start it in the morning, take it down to this guy, and this mechanic was super cool. And he was like, yeah, I'll order the part. It'll be here this afternoon or in the morning or whatever, you know, and we'll get you taken care of and on the road. I'm like, okay. So, and then we walked downtown to this small, it was kind of like Pleasantville. If anybody ever knows what the movie Pleasantville is, you can understand that reference. So, okay, so we go down and we're in the square, basically, kind of, and we go to this cafe, and we're sitting there, and you know, we had breakfast and this and that, and it was really good. You know, I mean, and it was just a nice atmosphere, and people were super nice. And I'm like, this is kind of weird because, you know, where I come from and where I live and the towns that I've lived in and this and that, the people aren't this nice. So it was kind of refreshing, but it was kind of different. And then like halfway through, we were almost done with our breakfast. And I did have, back then it was, we had just when cell phones were coming out, I had one of those, I think it was a Nokia. And, you know, it's not like the phones we have today. I mean, these phones were really small. And I think my carrier was Sprint or something. But they called the number, the phone, and the phone rang. And back then, when we had cell phones that were just coming out like that, that they were small and they were personable and this and that, that's all they were for, is to make phone calls, not to send texts, not to take pictures, not to, you know, it was just basically, that was it. It was a phone, is all it was. So the guy said, your car's ready to go, and blah, blah, blah. And so I said, okay. So we walked down through town and down to this shop, which was probably about a half a mile, which was all right. And so the guy, you know, charged us accordingly. It wasn't super expensive, but it wasn't, you know, it was normal, you know, for what it was. But he was super nice, and we got on our way, and then we left the town. And after that, we were kind of like, what the fuck? You know, we were just kind of like, what just happened? And so that was the start of that experience going to Colorado. And I'm getting to the ghost story. But that, I had to share that to kind of set this up, that something strange happened before we even got to Colorado. So I'm getting there. So we get into Colorado, and there's some storms on the plains of the Colorado, just across the border of Kansas. And the storms were really bad. And I'm like, this will be the second storm that we've seen. And there was a tornado in Colorado on the plains. And I was like, what is going on? I mean, we could see how bad the storm was. And on the radio, it was saying there's a tornado in so many, whatever county, and da 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 da. So we pull off and we stop and we go to a Wendy's. Now, thinking, me being in tornadoes before, excuse me, people weren't treating it as it was a big deal. And, you know, with Wendy's, there's a bunch of like open glass window, you know, the windows are all glass and this and that. And I'm like, God, did we just kind of go into Wendy's and not sit by a window? You know, I mean, it was just, so we experienced that, and that was odd in itself. But I'm like, okay, I've been in enough tornadoes to know if it's going to be close or if it's bad or whatnot. So that was our introduction to Colorado. And we were driving. After we ate, we were driving, and we went all the way into the mountains. Now, from where we were at that Wendy's, we weren't even close to, we were probably about 50 miles from Denver, you know. So we got through Denver, and it was getting dark, and so we were still on the main highway that was taking us into the mountains. So by then it's gotten dark. And when you're, if anybody knows about the Rocky Mountains, if it's dark in the mountains, you know, if it's dark outside, it's dark in the mountains. I mean, it's totally dark. So you can't see nothing. And whatever headlights that you have, that's it. There are no street lights. There's no nothing up there. Okay, so we go to a place called Allen's Park that had some cabins. And excuse me, I had to take a drink of my coffee. So we get up there, and it's kind of in the back of the wooded area off the main road in the mountains. And there's a stream back there that you can hear. And this is a little bit of a funny story, but the lady gave us a code for the door to get into this cabin. And I'm pushing these buttons and the door won't open. I'm like, what the heck? You know, back then, I mean, if I really thought, I thought they were really ahead of the times, that they had this automatic, you know, put this code in and open the door. I did this probably for 20 minutes. The whole time I'm freaking out thinking a bear is going to come up behind me and attack us. And so she's laughing and I am, you know, literally scared and I don't want to be eaten by a freaking bear, you know? So as I'm pushing these buttons, some kind of dinged in my head and said, "You're an idiot." I'm like, "What?" And then I looked and I pushed the code in. And realized there was a little bit of a peg up there in this box. And I pushed on it and the keys fell out. I was a freaking idiot. Here I am thinking that they're way ahead of the times. And they've got this electronic thing on the door. And it's actually a lock box for a key. Now, yeah, needless to say, she was like basically thinking, "Yeah, you're an idiot." You know, so we laughed about it. Yeah, okay. So we get in there and it's probably like 2 or 3 in the morning. And I wasn't tired. I was kind of just amped. And it was a small cabin, but it was cute. You know, had a loft upstairs and with a bed and you know, everything was rustic, you know, like log bed and chairs and couches. Excuse me. So there's a TV that actually had cable. I don't know how they got cable up there, but they did. And it was pretty cool. And when I was looking for something to watch, they had reruns of, or I don't know if it was reruns or when MTV brought back or somebody brought back Headbangers Ball with heavy metal music. And I used to watch that when I was a kid. And I was like, no way. And so I was like, I thought I was like stepping back in time. So I proceeded to turn that on and watch that for an hour. So, but yeah, I don't think we slept that night. And I think it was, yeah, because, yeah, we didn't sleep that night. The next day, you know, we were still up and this and that. And I think we went and got something to eat. And then we came back and then we were hanging out and like, well, why don't we take a nap? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So we go upstairs. And mind you, this cabin's pretty small. So the loft isn't that big either. So we get up there and it's a queen size bed and the bed was barely big enough for this loft. It had a window and had a little alcove, and then had a chair, like a rocking chair next to it. And, you know, it was just like, you had to kind of scooch to even get in there, you know? So we lay down, and, you know, she's like already asleep, and I'm laying there, and I fell asleep on my left side. And so I got my face is looking towards this chair, this like rocking chair or whatever it was. And I fall asleep. Now, mind you, this is probably like early afternoon. And no big deal. I open my eyes, and there's he looked like a lumberjack. That's the best way to describe him. His suspenders on. He had the red flannel or whatever it was, and like these boots, and very rustic beard. And he was sitting there in the chair, and I opened my eyes, and it scared the shit out of me. But he's screaming at me, pointing his finger at me, but I can't hear any words. It was almost like somebody pushed mute on his voice box, because I couldn't hear him, but I could see him. He was yelling at me about something, and he was pissed, and I was terrified. I mean, literally terrified. And so terrified that I passed out. Now, I don't think I've had anything like that happen since I discussed that issue or that event I had happen in the first episode years before. This was probably the second most terrifying. And I basically blacked out. I wasn't coming to yet. She was waking me up, trying to wake me up. And I opened my eyes and I gasped for air. And she was like, "What the hell happened?" She's like, "Your heartbeat was beating so fast. It woke me up." And that I just, she, and she, so she's sitting there. She was like, "What the hell happened?" And I was just like, yeah, I was still trying to catch my breath, because I was still finishing that terrifying moment, you know, in my head. And my brain had to basically download, you know, some of that information to get rid of it, because I was still terrified. It took me about 5 minutes to, get my composure, to be able to speak and to be able to tell her this is what happened. And she was like, so I tell her what happened, and she was like, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "There's some really angry Paul Bunyan looking guy that I don't know why he proceeded to sit," but I said, he was so close that I could touch him. That's how close the room was, so small. So yeah. And she was like, "What do you think he wanted?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "He was screaming at me, and I couldn't hear what he was saying because it was like he was yelling and silent." I said, and it was just, yeah, that I will never, I, that's, that freaked me out a big time. So, so I got out of bed. I went downstairs, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to sleep up there anymore. So I ended up, for the rest of that trip in the cabin there, I slept. I didn't really sleep. Let's put it that way. I would try to sleep on the sofa or whatever, or I wouldn't sleep. So yeah, so that is the beginning of being in Colorado. Well, in the mountains. So we proceeded to leave that cabin because we had another hotel that we were going to in Grand Lake, Colorado, which is farther up the mountains. And if anybody's been to Grand Lake, you got to go. It is beautiful. It's got a huge lake, and it, yeah, it's just one of those things where you don't want to miss. Trust me. Excuse me. So we go to this place, and on our way there, I felt odd. I mean, I felt like I wasn't alone. And the best way to describe it is I have somebody hanging around. At that point I was kind of in paranormal mode, you know, after what happened to me at the cabin. I proceeded to, you know, not acknowledge it, but notice it and kind of keep that in the back of my mind. I'm like, I know I got to tag along, and that's the best way to describe it. And, so we go to the next place in Grand Lake, and we check into this hotel, and it's a small hotel, and it's got a small living room and then a bedroom. The bedroom was way smaller than the last cabin we were at. The bedroom for the cabin. So where I proceed to, I think it was, I don't know what it was, but it was that evening. I mean, we had went and gone, got something to eat, and we came back, and, you know, we were really tired, so we were going to go to sleep. And so it's another queen size bed, and I'm laying there, and she's laying there, and I shut the light off, and there was a little light coming from the back window of the apartment, or the hotel room. There was a window, a small window in the other room. And I could see, standing at the foot of the bed, a shadow or a silhouette. Now, could my eyes have been playing tricks on me? Yes, possibly. But I sensed there was somebody standing there. And it was a tall, not really tall figure, but enough to where it was solid black. It was like a shadow person. I mean, seriously. And I basically kind of would, like, I'd look away and be like, okay, it's not there. I'm used to, this is my imagination. I look back and there it was. Or it would be 2 feet over, or 2 feet over the other way, or, you know what I mean? So I basically, I'm like, okay, we have a tag along. Okay. So I just kind of put it in the back of my mind. I'm like, okay, I didn't get a bad feeling or a scary feeling, but I could tell that it was there. And, you know, we did our thing in the town and everything, and it was just one of those things. Was it still around after that? I'm not sure. Possibly, but I can't tell for sure. But my paranormal experiences did not end there. This whole trip was one paranormal experience. I mean, it's not only I get to enjoy the Rocky Mountains, which I totally love, but, you know, coupling that with the paranormal, I kind of wanted to enjoy the vacation and not have to be looking over my shoulder every 2 minutes. But anyways, so I think we were on our way out, but we were stopping. We went down to, where was it? Estes Park. Cause we wanted to go. One of the places I wanted to go to was, the Stanley Hotel. So, and realizing this now in hindsight that I should have guarded myself before I left the trip for the trip. And especially when I pulled into the driveway or the parking lot of the Stanley Hotel. So if anybody's been at the Stanley Hotel, you know that place has got spirits. So I personally, it's one of my favorite places of all time. But, so having said that, we pull into the drive or the parking lot, and I'm in awe over this place. And so I get out of the car and I'm kind of weak at the knees, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Not that I was tired, but I guess I could have been, but it was just really weird, you know? But I could feel the energy coming from this place. And I knew what the stories were and stuff. Not a lot, but a few. So we walk into this building and I'm just like overwhelmed with this heaviness. And so, you know, we just start, there wasn't a tour guide at that time. So we were just kind of randomly walking around. So the first place that we walked, me and this girl walked, was into the piano room. Now, immediately when I was sensing something going on near the piano room, as soon as I walked into the piano room, I fell down and almost passed out. Now I had this, my knees gave out. I went down, I grabbed on to whatever I could to stop myself. And the girl I was with was like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and I felt dizzy and I felt something shifting. It was really weird. And so I got back up and I had to kind of just dust myself off spiritually. And I was like, wow, I'm like, the energy in here is really intense. One of the stories is that the lady of the house would play the piano, and it's been heard at night and whatnot. And, you know, so I didn't know that until after the fact. You know what I mean? I just knew that it was a piano room. So we proceed to walk into the next room, which was the billiard room. And I want to take pictures because I used to play billiards and I love billiards. And so I wanted to take pictures, and there was like this big mantle with a big mirror over it, you know? And so, I'm taking pictures with me in the mirror, and then, the pool table. And so I think there was a fireplace or something underneath that. I can't remember for sure, but you know, so I'm proceeding to take pictures. On a side note, when we got home, I developed that picture, and there was a man standing behind me that looked like Stanley, the guy who had the owner of the house and built this house, and that's what he looked like. And I was like, because at first I didn't realize who it was until I looked up a picture and tried to compare. And lo and behold, this guy was looking over my shoulder, basically. So I was like, okay. So back to the Stanley. We go through, and I'm still snapping pictures and this and that. And, you know, you hear things. I mean, it's an active hotel, so you kind of hear things here and there. But I've really got weird feelings, especially on the top floor. We're just, I don't know how to describe it, but it was just like energy back and forth down the hallways. it was just really weird. And so, you know, we go through the hotel and we go downstairs and we see where, you know, all the movies that were made there, and took pictures of that. And we went into the ballroom and where they had the stage and whatnot. And I proceeded to stand up on the stage and had her take pictures of me on the stage. And, you know, just being like, look at me, I'm on stage. You know what I mean? It was kind of funny and this and that. And then after that, it was, you know, we kind of finished what we were doing and, you know, walking around and this and that. And it was just, it was an experience like I'll never forget. So later on, we get home, you know, our vacation was pretty much over, and it was pretty awesome. You know what I mean? It was hard to describe. So I get home and I get all these pictures developed, and not only I caught the Mr. Stanley, you know, in my picture looking over my shoulder, but I also got, when I was on the stage, I had, I don't know if anybody knows what spaghetti mist is, but it looks like ectoplasm type stuff. I kind of had that next to me, and I had a mist, like a body mist, standing on the other side of me. Because the whole time I'm telling you this, I didn't feel alone throughout pretty much the whole trip, and especially when I walked into the Stanley Hotel. And we caught some other anomalies, mist here upstairs in one of the hallways, and it was a plethora of evidence. If you want me to be honest. So I had this all in a book. It was an orange binder, small, that holds pictures. And I brought it to work so my coworkers could see the experiences I had on this trip. And I put it on the shelf in the office, no less. After that day, I forgot about it. And I went back, you know, the next day I came to work, and that book was gone. I was so pissed. I was so mad because somebody stole my pictures that had great evidence in it. These pictures had stuff that you could not explain. And whether you want to believe it or not, it was on, these pictures were proof to me. And somebody stole it from work. And nobody would fess up to it. And I was so devastated because I wanted people to see that picture of the guy behind me in the billiard room. And I think when I put it up there and I went to work and I forgot about it and I was going to show people, and then I totally forgot about it. And then I went home, and the next day when I came in and that evening, it was gone. I was like, oh man. So when you've got a word of advice, when you've got good evidence, don't leave your evidence lying around. You know, if somebody will take it, you know. So, yeah. But yeah, that was my experience in Colorado, in the Stanley, and in, you know, Grand Lake and Allen's Park. I visited that place years later, probably about 6 years ago. And, I went to Grand Lake and, with my wife now, not the same girl, that's different. Anyways, my wife now, we went into one of the restaurants that was in Grand Lake that was once a jail back in, you know, old West times. And it was a restaurant, like a Mexican restaurant. And I was sitting at this table, and right next to me was one of the doors to one of the cells on the wall. I mean, they kind of integrated all the cells in with the restaurant, you know, which was a really cool theme. But I tell you what, the energy that was coming off that cell door, I will never forget, because it made it really difficult for me to eat. And it really messed up with, I would get like vertigo or dizzy. And the energy that came off, the frequency that came off that and energy was just off the charts. The food was good, but we really couldn't stay there much longer because I was really getting affected by it. So, and that does happen from time to time. If I go into an old building, or if I go to some place where something traumatic or something has happened that, you know, people just, you know, have died or, you know, has been associated with that or whatever. Excuse me. I've experienced that. So, but yeah, Colorado is a great place. I highly recommend the mountains. I highly recommend going to, Grand Lake. Escaped me for a minute. Grand Lake and Central City is also another place that I've been through and been to a lot. I've been up at the cemetery up there. It's a great cemetery. They just, last time I was there, which was about 6 or 7 years ago, they redid a lot of the original gravestones up on top of the mountain. And somebody funded it where they found anybody that was related with people who were buried in this Old West cemetery, that they got their permission to redo some of the graves with new markers of their descendants, which was top notch, which was really cool. So, so that's my story for this evening. I'm sure I've got more, but I try to keep it under an hour, under 50 minutes or whatever. I don't want to make it too long, but I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. You know, I hope to be able to make many more of these, and I hope to start putting some of them on to YouTube. So if you want to watch me instead of listen to me, you could probably go to you can go to YouTube, or go to Parapost on Facebook. I'll be on uploading my episodes up there too. But yeah. So I hope everybody has a great day or a great evening. And for those in Florida, stay safe. You know, I'm thinking and praying for you. And yep. And I'd like to leave with this for everybody listening. If you can dream it, you can do it. Find yourself a support system. If you're going through some difficulties, reach out to people who can help you. Just remember that if you have a heartbeat, you have a purpose. Don't forget that. I kind of like to leave some positive messages after each episode I do, just because of the fact that I want people to know that I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about the people who are in need, especially the people in Florida and all the people that have been affected by Helena. You know, we got to come together. So let's do that. Well, thank you, everybody, and I will see you next time. And Godspeed.
This show is brought to you in part.